This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Okay, so how you been, fam? What you been up to?
Fam, literally, I've just been at home doing work, trying to, like, do my own thing. Like, no school right now because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Don't f*** with the online shit.
Yeah.
Like no shot. Like, I don't do that.
Yo, stuff. Honestly, right now is the best time to just do whatever you want.
Yeah, yo, no, that's what I've been doing, bro. Like, even on the Discord, shout out Jumpers Jump Discord if you're not already tuned in.
Yeah, yeah, but Dino's live on the Discord. Yeah,
yo, I've just been vibing. Like, I've been doing my own thing. Like, I have my stream set up for that. So, like, I've been chilling at home. Whenever I go home, I'm just on my computer and shit. I'm playing games. It's like, why not?
That's good shit, bro.
Like, it's literally just one of those things.
That's good shit. Because, honestly, just try whatever you like to do. You know what I mean? Because you never know. You can try something you love and then it just takes off.
And then that's the thing. It's like, why limit myself to doing something that's like could have the potential to be something more? It's like, why not do something the most you can at the time being while all the shit's going on, while people are doing this stuff? And it's like, it's just see where it goes.
And that's like your true passion. Like, you've been a gamer from time.
Well, right? Like, yeah, no, like, people who have seen my setup know, like, I have the original Xbox 360, yeah. Xbox One. I've got the Switch there, and it's like a whole tower kind of deal. And that's what I originally started off with. Like, I remember playing Halo 2 with my uncle, just on the original Xbox, just playing and having fun. And there's one game that I don't remember anymore, and it pisses me off.
What game?
Man, and that's the thing. I don't know. It was this game where you just run around, you pick up weapons, and it's kind of like a free-for-all or a team deathmatch, and I don't know the name.
Is it Unreal Tournament? Is that it?
Oh, bro, yo, I think you might have just...
Unreal Tournament, alive?
I think it is. Yeah, yo, bro, what the hell? I didn't think I'd do that here. I was going to say, like, I got...
Fam, I know all of it, trust me. I know all of that shit.
That game went hard,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, it was on OG Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, that game went hard. I remember me and my brother actually getting heated when we played that shit. Yeah. Like, we would go and we'd sit down and we'd game and we're like, yo, you're not killing me. Like, you're not winning this game. We'd start, like, team death matches and we'd have, the like, five bots on one team, five bots on another team, and we'd just split up. And
that's like, how it is. Like, yeah, especially with your siblings and shit, it's real beef.
There's one game called Fusion Frenzy.
Oh, yo, I love that game, fam. I love that game.
I have that right now at home on the Xbox 360, and whenever boys come over and stuff, we got four controllers already, so we just throw that
shit. That's a lost gem, eh? That's a lost gem.
Actually hits different. That is the traditional party game.
You know the sumo. Yes, it's like the big balls and you're trying to like poke each other around.
That's the game we always play. That's the game people get most upset about because it's the most jank too.
It's most competitive, bro.
Or even that final competition one where you got the fireworks and you got like
Yo, if y'all haven't played Fusion Frenzy, search that shit up. It's like one of the best like party games ever.
It's on the original Xbox. You can buy it for $360 on the store. I think it's like $5, so it's not even like that.
Oh, it's on Marketplace now.
Yeah, so they have a whole bunch of games from the original Xbox that they move over to the 360 Marketplace that you can buy and like play and shit.
Yeah,
and I was fucking around one day, I'm like, yo, let me see if Fusion Frenzy's here, because we originally were playing that on the OG Xbox, and I found it. I was like, I called my brother and I'm like, yo, Hayden, look what's on the market.
Yeah.
And he looks and he's like, what the? We bought it right away and we started playing.
I found mine at the thrift store. How I find mine. I got lucky.
That's a lucky game to find, because I feel like that shit just gets thrown out.
Yeah.
That shit ain't a game that's like
nobody talks
know.
About it.
Yeah,
nobody
no
talks
one knows. About it, right? Like, that's just a slept on game.
Yo, you have VR, right? Yo, fam, how have we still not played? Like,
I don't know.
We haven't played together yet.
I know. And the worst part is I've played it for stream before.
Yeah.
those guys, and one game that they all love is Five Nights at Freddy's.
Word. VR.
And it,
that's just scary, bro.
Bro, that's why I don't like playing it.
Yeah.
but I'm okay with it. I don't actually mind. I played like games before on like the computer and stuff, and I used to play on like the iPad back when I had that.
But on VR, it hits different, bro.
VR, bro, it's sketchy, and I'm like screaming and shit, and everyone in chat's just like, I look up to see chat because I pin it to the top.
Yeah.
Like flicking at my wrist or something.
Mm-hmm.
I pin it to the top, so I'll just look up when it's chill. And I just see everyone like laughing and doing all the stupid emojis. I'm like, bro, I'm stressing over here. Yeah. You don't know what this is like. Like, this shit's scary.
Yo, we gotta play like what's a battle royale game?
No. We should play Pavlov.
Pavlov. Population one.
Oh yeah.
That one, like, it's like a PUBG.
Or we should try. I don't know if there's a Walking Dead game.
I have that.
Is that one too? Like, can you play with other people?
I don't think it's multiplayer though. I think it's only like story mode, like single player.
I was gonna say, because that shit would be like you and me cruising around the streets.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be fire.
Just killing zombies and like doing missions.
I think there's another one where you can play multiplayer. It's called Arizona Sunrise or some shit.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That one's older, but like, yo, we need to get some sort of shit because you got Oculus too, so we can link up on like the Oculus Hub and then we can play.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying.
I got the Rift, so like I just hook it up to my PC and call it.
Yo, is there like you know how in Ready Player One they had like the body suits where you can feel shit?
Yeah.
Do they have that right now or not?
Like the haptic feedback shit?
Yeah.
So they do. They have consumer stuff that you can buy. A lot of stuff you gotta be careful because a lot of it's like commercial use. Mm-hmm. So one thing I was thinking about is I want to find a way to purchase, like, not even purchase, or even design, or just get some sort of way to get involved and create a team to build a standing VR platform.
Yeah.
So you don't need to use the thumbsticks to walk around, where you can move around.
Oh, and so you can, like, more, run on a pad.
Yeah, and make it more of, like, a consumer purchase than a commercial stuff. Because right now, if you go looking for, like, all that stuff, all of it's just commercial, and that's it. That's all they use it for. They use it for, like, even right now, I see a lot of times where I'll look it up, and it's, like, police training, fireman training, especially in lockdown right now. A lot of people have actually switched to using that stuff for actually in-school lessons and, like, training
stuff. Oh, shit, that's dope.
So you'll find a lot of places and stuff that are, really high-class places that are using that stuff to create simulations of situations they'll be in the workplace. So there's a lot of actual stuff for VR that's going into schooling, but that also limits, like, the consumer products that we can use. But there are haptic feedback, like, shit. Like, you can literally just go out and probably search online and buy like a vest that connects to your headset.
That's it. And you feel like gunshots or whatever. Can, like,
slap you on the back and shit. You'll feel like an arrow going through you.
That's crazy, bro.
It is. And to think how far it's come already.
Mm-hmm. It's like, only been like, how long have we seen VR? Maybe like 5 years, less than?
Probably seriously VR where it's actually consumer ready. Probably even less than that.
Yeah, honestly. Probably less than that.
Because like you didn't see people like 3 years ago or like 4 years ago, I'd say, really owning VR unless they're like content creation type.
Yeah.
Like, that was really all I saw it for. And now it's like every other person's like, yo, yeah, I want to get VR. And like people are making their purchases. And it's like, the shit's like going
places. I think maybe the next Oculus. So this is, we're on the Quest 2 right now, right?
Yeah, we're on the
Quest 2. The next one's going to be Quest 3. I think by Quest 3, whether it be like the marketing or whether it be like through social media, because people playing it is becoming way more popular, right? It's becoming like commonplace gaming.
And that's the thing. It's like I have one. So like I have the option to stream that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of those things now, it's where it's like my whole variety of games has opened up where I can be even like just doing, like I could go be flipping burgers and stuff.
Yeah.
And watch that. It's like, what the, like you do this on a regular game, you're not getting no viewers. It's crazy to think that just switching to a different type of like game can get so many different people interested when you can be doing the simplest stuff.
Because not a lot of people are streaming VR, I feel like. There definitely are people, but there's not like a big variety of people playing that or gaming.
It's a lot tougher to stream because you definitely need a better setup.
Because
I recently bought, like, I balled out on a PC because, like, I've been saving for time. I've been working. So it's like, I want to be able to kind of do what I want to do and have a PC for, like, the next, like, 7 years or something.
Word.
And not worry about it. So, like, I balled out on a PC and it's like, now I have the option to kind of do what I want. I can stream VR. I can play VR with no limitations because before my PC was not good enough to run like the heavy games on VR. That's originally what I really wanted to do. I'm like, yo, I don't want to be limited to anything.
Yeah,
I want to have a PC that I can just game on and not worry about like any upgrades. I don't want to worry about that shit right now. I just want to play. Like, what's the point of having a PC if you can't play?
That's the thing. But what sucks is technology upgrades so quick.
It's so fast.
Like, then you have to fucking upgrade your shit again.
I know.
And you know
what I mean? That's the thing. That's the scary part. It's like, yeah, you're going to be set if games don't change for the next
7 years. Yeah, exactly.
But once games start changing in the next, like, 8 months, And they're like, oh, yeah, you need this new graphics card. It's like,
yeah,
really? Bro. I'm like, I just upgraded.
That's what I'm saying. Fam, have you seen, do you watch Black Mirror or not?
I've seen episodes because my brother really watches that. So I've seen a few episodes of it. So it depends on which one you're talking
about. So there's this one episode where these guys play a fighting game.
Okay.
And they put like a chip on their forehead. So it becomes like not VR, but a simulation. Like kind of like some Matrix shit.
Okay.
Like Sword Art Online type of shit, right?
Okay, I can't fuck with that.
So it gets funny. It gets funny because it starts off a fighting game. He's playing with his boy. And then all of a sudden, they start like making out. And then they start like... and then all of a sudden, they start having like freaking affairs in the game. Because it's like... So it was a fighting game. It's a fighting game, but they're able to be like a person.
Yeah.
Like they have a new body, whatever. And then they're faced against someone with their own body too.
Oh, yo.
So one guy played as like a kung fu guy. And then it was like a shorty. Oh. She's like a kung fu shorty. And then they were playing together and all of a sudden they started.
Bro, that shit. Black Mirror always be doing that type
That's
of shit.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
They always be like just twisting the boundaries of what you think's gonna happen. Like I remember watching one of those episodes where it was like they trapped this guy in this room, essentially. I don't know if you know this one, where it's like they basically put him in this room and then this lockdown house to try and figure out if he murdered someone, but tapping into his memory so that he kind of forgets what he's doing and where he is, and he only knows stories.
Word.
So he thinks of this separate idea of how he got there, and essentially he's like, oh yeah, I'm here on work. That's what he thinks. And his roommate that he's never seen comes out. What really happened is they trapped him in this fucking like snow globe.
Like
they trapped his mind in this snow globe type deal. So he's living inside a snow globe with a house.
So it's like his consciousness is in there. His
consciousness is in there and he believes he's living in there.
Oh,
and they
shit.
Can adjust the time and they can depend Yo. On how long he lives there and shit for. So he comes out and he starts talking to him. And because this guy thinks he's been in there for like months or something, he's gone so used to living with this roommate that doesn't come out of his room. So he finally comes out and they start talking. He gets him to like confess all this stuff on like the shit he did. Because he's been thinking that he moved to this place for work and he's been living there for time.
Yeah.
And he's finally talking to this roommate, but really it's the detective that's coming in and trying to get all the shit out of him.
So it's like a simulation.
It's literally like a simulation. It's the same thing as like the fighting game in a sense, but except he's being forced into this fake reality that they conjured for him inside of this actual inanimate object.
Yeah.
And like they can choose like what they're changing and just
see that's so it's so when you think about like we could be in a simulation and not have control.
Yeah, no, and that's like to think about that. It's like there's so many times in life where it's like that's some crazy stuff. Like how did that even happen?
Yeah.
It's like I've been in some crazy situations. Like recently I almost had a guy run into me like head-on collision, and it was crazy. It's almost like
driving.
Yeah, like driving. Yeah. So I'm originally just going to work and it's a 2-lane street. So there's only one lane for me, one lane for him. And it was so weird because I'm just driving down. It almost felt fake because I'm driving down and there's this bird that's just sitting and chilling on my side of the road, not moving, like probably like a foot or two, I'd say, into my side. So it's like I'd have to really move over, or slow down a bit. And I'm just like, yo, can this bird move? And then I see the car coming right into
Shit.
Like, I think the car's like at least like 4 feet into my lane. And I was just shocked. I just had to swerve like. I had to swerve so hard over. Luckily, like, I didn't lose control or anything. Like, I was able to keep that shit tucked. Like, I shifted into a lower gear because I drive a manual. So, if anyone drives a manual knows what it's like to, like, change speeds and stuff, it's tough. So, I shift gears. I crank the wheel over and then crank it back.
Fuck, wait. Did you crash or?
No,
you just missed it. Yeah.
I just missed it. Like, I want you to understand our side mirrors touched.
Oh, but no. Fuck.
Like, I heard the side mirrors just bang. And I'm like, what the fuck? Happened. I drove for another like 2 minutes and I had to pull over because I was like,
yeah, you're like just freaked out,
bro,
right?
Bro, like that shit right there. The guy was probably going like 70 kilometers.
Damn.
Like if that hit me head on,
that shit could have killed you.
It could have been fucked up, bro. I don't know what could have happened. And I'm over there. I'm like, this shit could have changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it managed to happen. And it's almost like that bird was like a little
sign. That's what I'm thinking.
And that's what I mean. It's like, what if like that shit affects like the simulation or something, or like they want me to see that.
Yeah. That was like a sign for you to see so that it moves you away from it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's like,
or prepares you.
I could have looked at my console to look at the new song I'm going to change.
Or yeah.
This. But because I saw that little bird just chilling on the road and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I literally saw the car coming. I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is happening. It was one of those like instant reflex things that like you won't forget, but you barely remember in the moment.
Yeah, see, when it comes to like life or death things, those little like signs, those little like hints at stuff, it really makes you wonder, like, were things planned? Were things like set there on purpose, right?
I know, and it's just one of those things. It's like, what is the border to almost like reality in a sense where it's almost doesn't feel like stage? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like everything that happens in your life is already set in motion. And people say all these things like, oh, I want to do this with my life. I'm going to change this. It's like, if you were meant to change it, you are meant to change it. You can say what you want. Mm-hmm. It's almost like everything that everyone does is kind of set to follow a certain path, and stuff that doesn't happen for a reason doesn't happen for a reason. And that's why shit goes the way it does for some people. Some people go off and be successful and do their own things, start their own business and stuff. Other people won't. And that's just because of how it's meant to be. Whether they have something else in plan or they're just going to live like the regular life, I feel like all the shit's already set on a
screen. So do you think for sure this is a simulation, or what do you think about it?
I don't think it's really tough to, like, it's hard. Like, it's one of those crazy things that, like, you're not
gonna, like, yeah, you don't really have an answer to, right? You don't have an answer to that.
How am I supposed to, like, no, I think you can only find that shit out in death.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Like, I think if once you either pass away, what in whatever way that happens,
we're going to find out.
You're going to find out what happens. And that's almost kind of like one of those things. That, like, it's almost like everyone's, like, I saw this crazy thing about, like, how everyone's connected and shit. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, what if it's just everything is one, essentially? Like, everything that happens ends up coming right back to you, and like everything that changes will affect you as a person until you get put back into this world, and then it affects the next person in a way.
See, it's almost like it's a story, right? It's like a story that's supposed to unfold.
Yeah, and like all the shit that's supposed to happen there for a reason. It's like this greater power idea. It's like people who believe in whatever religion that they believe in, and they believe in this greater power. If you don't, then you don't believe in religion. If you're but it you can't deny that these things happen that can't be explained. And that's one of those things that's like, it's crazy to talk about. It's like, what happens in, there's a tunnel. Yeah. I believe it's in, I think it's in China, where these random cars appear, and it's got this high collision rate, and there's cameras set up all over the tunnel.
Way.
And you can just see this truck driving down the tunnel with a bunch of cars. And then all of a sudden, this bus appears in front of it.
Out of nowhere.
Like, you can watch the video and like, you don't see the bus coming. It becomes a head-on collision. Just nowhere pops up.
It just pops out.
And that shit happens like all the time in that tunnel, apparently. It's not like an uncommon occurrence where this shit just pops up. And it's like, how do you explain the videos? It's like one of those things. It's like, I don't believe in a sense where like we're all ruled by something, or there's something greater above us for the afterlife. I more or less like live in the moment. I'm like, let me do my thing. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to keep living my life to the best while I can.
Yeah. But when there's proof.
It's like, yo, like, how do you not know, like, whether it be, like, something from out of this world or something of a greater power? It's like, is this shit just put in stuff here? Like,
it's almost like a glitch in the Matrix, right? That's the type of shit.
And that's the thing. It's like, how does this happen? And it's almost like the computer failed.
Yeah, exactly. Like an error.
What? And it makes you think about things. And it's like, God. Like, it just messes with your head too much sometimes.
Here's the thing. I have kind of, like, a theory for this whole simulation and kind of like, you know, when you're playing a game and it still has to render certain areas.
So
let's say you're playing Minecraft, right? And then like, it's going to render where you are, like in the vicinity you're in. But it's not going to render, let's say, like 50 meters down where you're going to walk toward, because it doesn't have to. You're in this area right now. So I always thought about it like this. You know how people always see ghosts, right? But they only see ghosts alone. Have you noticed that? It's never there's a lot of people around them when they see like supernatural shit.
It's like whenever, like, besides like those videos on like YouTube and stuff where it's like groups and stuff going in, it's like you only really get true like paranormal stories that seem like really believable when someone's just by themselves.
Exactly. So my theory is, what if this is a simulation and that's kind of like a rendering issue? Because look, because if there's a lot of people in one area, the simulation is going to make sure everything's up to par, everything's working blessed. But if you're by yourself, let's say you're in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, nobody around you, it's going to be lazy and rendering and shit.
It's taking its time.
Yeah.
Like that shit, that's completely plausible, because in a sense, it's like, even in like other games where you have to render shit, like sometimes you don't even render the stuff behind you.
Exactly.
Especially in a single player game, they only render where you're looking. So it's like when you hear the shit happening and you turn around and nothing's there, and you're like, what was that? It could be just the game like screwing up like event render.
Yeah, because
it's like the simulation. Because
all the games we play, it has to render. You know what I mean? So if life is truly a simulation, it would also have to render what we're seeing. Our reality still has to render what it's going. So there's also another thing. There's like this study scientists done, right? And they took these particles and they put it in like a room, like a vacuum, and they studied it. They studied the particles because you know how particles are always in motion. They're always moving, right?
They don't stop.
They don't stop. Whether it's always vibrating.
Solid or liquid or gas. They're always moving. Even for solids, like they don't stop.
Exactly. They're always moving. So they really studied. They looked at it and they saw that when everybody was in the room and they were looking at the particles, they were moving, they're moving, they're moving. And then they set like a camera, they set like devices to keep an eye on it. They left the building. They stopped moving. They only moved when people were around. So what if that's proof of like a simulation, a rendering issue?
That's kind of crazy. And it's like, it's like, what if we've developed as a civilization so far in advance that the original simulation that we were supposed to be in can't compete with our current technology that we're developing in this situation? So like, the videos and the 4K cameras and all these microscopes that can see like even little atoms of a particle, like the simulation never intended for us to see that stuff. So like when we start really diving deep, what if it's like, like going, oh shit.
Cause
like
what? Cause our simulation was based in, okay, if there was a simulation, it was definitely in the future. It couldn't have been in the past.
Yeah.
So their technology is only so advanced, right? Maybe there's a time where we become more advanced than that. That's what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, like what if all this is based, like what if this shit, what if that we're in a simulation of the past world of the future?
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out what they could have done to change stuff that would have happened. So like what if they're replaying like World War II, World War I, seeing what happens now in the future with COVID? Maybe something happens with COVID. Maybe happens with America and the drama that was going on with China. Like who knows? Maybe they're trying to figure out what could have happened and what could have changed. And they're working on like tweaking every little thing. And maybe, who knows, maybe Biden didn't get president in their future.
Yeah.
And the simulation is seeing what would have happened if Biden became president.
Like, whatever the simulation is, this is the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, imagine that. Or even, like, even imagine, like, if this is a perfect situation, imagine what happened in their, like, world where Hitler probably was something else.
Maybe the Germans won World War II, and it would have been in a fascist society.
Exactly. Or even, like, what's it called? Like, Japan, Germany, and all those countries took over the world in a sense.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is we're so far advanced in the future that there's a simulation running for the rebelling countries see what's going on and what could have happened and what could have changed if we won, and trying to see if we can they can adapt any sort of formalities or technology that they can use in against.
Okay, let me ask you something. If we are put into a simulation, you think from the beginning we had a choice whether we can choose what the simulation would be, or do you think it's preset?
I think it'd be preset. Yeah. I don't think there'd be a shot. I don't think that if someone's running a simulation, they want to see, it's more or less when you're doing like a scientific test, you want to see your specific end results of something that you're expecting to happen.
Exactly.
So you're not going to let it up to choice or chance because you want like something specific. You want this whole idea of what's going to happen to unravel. So if you let it go to chance, you're basically throwing away your research.
Your study, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's definitely, like, what they wanted. This is how they're going to do it. This is how they're going to want it. And that's how they're going to figure out what exactly they're researching in this simulation, for example.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. And then whatever they find out in this simulation, they're going to use to help the future.
Exactly.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What if the future is in like fucking apocalypse right now? And then they need answers. They need answers. And to find those answers, we got to go back to the past.
Exactly. Or even they're choosing a specific point in time to change the past.
Yeah.
Who knows how far along? What if they can do time?
They can do time travel, right?
So what if they're using the simulation as a way to get into the past to figure out exactly what point in time they need to change to make their world better?
Yeah, oh shit. That's like, so true.
Like, imagine that.
Because if we did have the technology to do that, we would do it. We would use it for that. Purpose, for the greater good.
We would, obviously, then there's corrupt people too. Mm-hmm. So what, like, and that's the thing. What if there's multiple simulations going on and we're just part of one?
What
if there's the corrupt and then what if there's the good? Mm. And the corrupt are currently using it to try and find a way to screw up the future even more.
Yeah.
Like, say, example, 40 years in the future, there's chemical warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what they wanted to happen, say for the 1%, the one rich percent, and they were corrupt as well, and they wanted exactly this to go down. They wanted to kill off this many people or change the civilization, and they didn't get that to happen. So they use their 1% power, essentially, with their funding, and they find a way that they can change it so that it runs exactly as smoothly as they need it to, so they can change the past for how they want it.
Because that's what they would do. If they had the power to control everybody, they would make it their perfect future. They would make it their perfect reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the controllers, the game setters of the simulation are the 1%, are the richest in the world, the rich and powerful, putting us into the simulation without us knowing.
Oh my God, bro.
See, because we don't even know, like, take in, they don't even know how the universe really started. Like, there's theories of the Big Bang. There's theories of so many different things, but there's no true set origin of how the universe came to be.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like there's so many different theories on it. Like, you have religions and you have science and then you have all these other in-betweeners that believe in their own kind of set rule. Like, oh yeah, God does exist, but science is also a factor in how everything developed. So imagine if there's like these theories, because God had essentially, like, in at least the Christian, I don't know anything about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
In that story, essentially. Mm-hmm. And we have proof. We have bones. We have fossils. We have all this other stuff. So what if essentially God was not exactly this greater being that controls everything? What if it was essentially like an alien coming to here?
See, there's a lot of theories about that too, right? Because the ancient Sumerians, they believe that their gods were aliens. They were from different planet, and then they showed them, they evolved them to become who they are today. Just like in the story of the Bible, God created Adam and Eve, right? And in ancient Sumeria, their ancient text, it said their gods came here and gave them things to evolve apes into humans today. Crazy, bro.
It's weird. And it's like, and now especially, I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about like all this UFO stuff and all this alien stuff that's coming to light. And it's like all these different things that are being shown and like videos going into better quality. We no longer have this 1994 video of this blurry circles flying through the air. Like, it's getting better.
It's getting better. We have 4K.
We have 4K. There's 8K cameras out now that people are using. Like, it's insane. All this stuff that's getting into better evidence for this whole like concept is just at one point it's gonna break down, and it's gonna get to the point where it's like either they're real or they're not, and the government's gonna have to say something.
Yeah,
I feel like at this point it's getting too much where it's like people are finding stuff out.
See, they're so smart because they're releasing things now where nobody's paying attention, right? Because if they released it at a time where there was nothing in the news, everything was kind of dry, and then they came out with, oh, we found UFOs, everyone's gonna be like, yo, what the there's UFOs, everyone's gonna be crazy, everyone's wilding off. Yeah,
and because there's so much shit going on that affects people's lives day in and day out, stuff like that where it's like, oh wow, that's cool kind of thing. It's like, does it affect us right now? No,
it doesn't affect us right now. Is it
gonna change anything currently? No. Is it gonna stop COVID? No. So why talk about it?
It's just like it's just like when there's a lot of theories too, when there's like a celebrity death or something in the news where it could have just been to overshadow something else that was going on in the world.
Yeah.
Because apparently, fuck, this is terrible, but like there were certain celebrity deaths during the start of COVID to cover up kind of the news about this disease in the beginning.
See, and that's the thing. I have a theory about COVID. And this is something I hear from work, I hear from people, and it's always this one thing. It's that COVID's original source, as people say, is natural selection through evolution. So it's like it started in any sort of animal, whether it be a bat, a pig, a bamboo, like anything. And what happened was, is the original like conspiracy for this is that it was started in a lab.
Yeah. Okay.
But what it was is this was during the prime time for America and China's confrontation when they're really having
like talks of war.
Yeah. Talks of war. So what they were doing is they're developing a chemical weapon or a biological weapon to release, even though it goes against like all rights essentially of war. But they were working on this shit because they were scared of the states.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's in power, who wouldn't be scared? So they were trying to figure this shit out. And what happened was it got released into the country, into their own, in China. It got somehow got out. So what they did instead is they used it as a cover up for a disease, and they actually used the current spread of COVID as a test to see how potent and how strong something they created would have been. And I know it's normal for some diseases and stuff to evolve to become immune to like cures and other stuff. Immune to vaccines, immune to all this other stuff. Like there's super bugs in hospitals. That's
why there's so many variants now, right?
And that's the thing. It's like people are trying to test this stuff, and it's like, how is it evolving this fast?
Because
another disease that's evolved this fast in a span of time where it's come with different variants within a year.
100%. This shit is man-made. Like, it's not even a question.
No, like this can't be made through natural selection this fast.
Yeah.
And change this fast
and already. Mutate just like that.
Exactly. It's almost like someone's playing Plague Inc. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember that game?
The iPhone game.
They're just tapping away. They're like, oh, they're finding out shit. Let's evolve it. And what if it's a simulation?
Oh, shit. It's a simulation about like disease and
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. What if we're in a world where it's like a simulation on disease? And then it's like, whoa, relax.
Yeah.
It's
so going back to your theory, how like China was going to use it as a weapon, right? Yeah. I have another theory. It's kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
I personally believe China made this disease for their own population because they're overpopulated. Because if you know, in China, they have a lot of strict rules about their population. They can't have over, I think they're only allowed to have one child.
I think it's
or
like,
no more than three, something like that.
I know they have rules about like having a child. And I'm pretty sure right now they have rules against having daughters as well. I'm pretty sure. I just want to saw something about that because they really don't want the
more
population
people,
growing.
Because it's overpopulated now. They have the largest population in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So looking at it from a different perspective, if they would want to lower their population without looking unethical through like genocide,
because
in the past you can see other countries that what they've done through genocide, bro, through
it's
very unethical shit. And COVID is very unethical. If it was created to actually decrease the population, that's 100%
that 100% that's fucked up, and like they would not get away with that. But currently, you look at China now, and they're already getting away with shit. Like, the concentration camps.
Yeah, bro.
It's messed up. I'm over here thinking to myself, like, I've seen that shit all the time. It's like, how can you get away with that when we've already had concentration camps happen before in a past world war?
Yo, you know what's crazy? Their concentration camps already surpassed the amount of deaths in World War II during the Holocaust. It surpassed that already.
And
it's still going on today. That's what's crazy.
I don't understand how people like how China itself can get away with that. I know Canada recently declared like it's inhumane or whatever. Like Trudeau officially announced that. And I know like that's a good start, but it's like, why is no one doing anything? Like,
you know why, bro? You know why?
Why?
Because we can't go to war right now. We can't. If we go to war right now, we might lose, honestly.
I mean, like,
because look who's allied with China, Russia. You know what I mean? And look at the states right now. Like, they're not... Yeah, I mean, they have the best military in the world, but...
They definitely are, like, powerful, but it's like... They got,
we're not in the state to do that right now.
They got more COVID cases than...
Exactly.
Like, any other country, essentially, and it's bad. But one thing I did want to talk about with COVID, about your theory, I want to rebuttal something with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if their original goal was to kill off people, like, essentially, like, create this fake genocide, I guess, for their government.
Yeah.
How did they get their stuff sorted out so fast in comparison to other countries in a sense? Like, they originally started, I get that, and they've had it for a lot longer, but like, they got their stuff under locks.
That's what I'm
like,
saying,
they were clubbing,
bro.
And they were partying. So like, what if the government already knows like kind of the cure for this stuff?
It's
and
not they knew the cure, they prepared. I feel like they knew, because if they made it, they already had the plans how to stop it. They had the plans how to keep it under wraps, keep it under control. And if they're going to let it out, they're like, okay, let's let it out, but get ready for plan A. Y'all ready for plan A? All right, let's drop this shit. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. And that's fair. It's like, what are they holding out on us for? Because obviously they've been doing their research for this disease for a very long time in comparison to us. What, they had it in like the summer?
Yeah.
The summer of, was it 19?
2019.
Yeah. So they had it in the summer of 2019. And they had it way before any of us. We started getting it. I told my Dukes right in November when I saw more of this shit coming up. I'm like, we better close the fuck. Like, we close the borders. This stuff's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, China's usually a city that can get their like diseases and stuff under wrap. They have a big population. They need to. They have an outbreak. They need to sort that stuff out. So they definitely know what they're doing in terms of medical. But like, they need, if they're struggling to keep this stuff under wraps, like, it's going to be bad. And we, as Canada, we generally get a lot of people coming into our country from other countries.
See, it could have been handled so much better.
Yeah, no, in COVID here in Canada, it's been handled.
It's been better. Handled so shit.
It's been bad.
So shit. Because like, it's like too little too late. If we did all of this like restrictions back in the day, like way back then, when it was first popping off, we would have been in such a better economic health compared to now.
What we should be doing is, if they want to go into lockdown, they need to lock down. None of these half-ass like rules and stuff. Like, just lock down properly for however long you need to, or 4 weeks or whatever.
Are the borders open right now?
I don't think so. But even like our stores and like just walking around, it's almost like what happened with Italy. Remember when Italy was popping off and they were getting cases, and they have a big population of elderly there, so a lot of people were in threats with COVID. They locked down everything in Italy. Like, they completely shut down stores. They didn't let people walk out of their houses. They had a full lockdown, and then they went back to normal after 4 weeks.
See, but the problem with
4 weeks of hell, but like, they got their stuff sorted.
But the problem with us, though, we've tried and done that, and then they let it go too early. So then it's like, all right, we're locking you down. All right, here's some freedom. Let me lock you down again. Here's some freedom again. Lock you down. Now we're fucking tired. We can't handle that shit.
No, and yeah. And
everybody's getting depressed. Everybody's getting like crazy. You know what I mean?
My dad brought this up.
Yeah.
He was talking about it. He was talking to one of his friends on the phone. And he's like, Canada or Ontario as its whole cannot deal with another lockdown. He's like, there are probably going to be more deaths from suicide due to this lockdown
100%.
Than there will be from COVID at this point. Because people are no longer able to even express themselves like daily. Everyone's reliant on social media and going for their nature walks or just going through doing stuff, but they can't see their friends, they can't socialize, they can't do anything like that.
There's no human interaction anymore. Exactly. We're losing the sense of like soul to soul communication. Exactly. You know what I mean,
that's one thing I'm happy for. I've been working throughout this whole pandemic in store.
Yeah.
So like, I have never gone a week or 2 or 3 weeks without going to work or without human interaction. I'm always forced.
That's important.
And that's the thing. It's like, I, at the same time, work's annoying, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's also great to still have that social interaction. I know so many people don't and are going crazy because they like can't get it. Like,
yeah,
the amount of people that I've dealt with and customers and stuff at work that have basically like lost their minds, or like their fuse is this big. You say we don't have something, their fuse is gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's that simple. It's that easy to tick someone off right now. And I feel like it's just a result of all, it's all this.
That's everybody's all on edge, right? Everybody's on edge.
Everyone's tired.
Nobody's easy right now.
They're scared of their businesses going out. They're scared of not being as successful anymore. They're scared of losing maybe even their house, like, or their cars, or they got bills to pay and they can't do that. So everyone that's currently going around is like, yes, we got stuff that we need to do. No, we can't do it because we can't go on lockdown.
I know, bro.
Like, and that's what it is. It's just that we can't go on a proper lockdown to reduce cases, and we can't have restricted rules because no one will listen to them anyway at this point.
But I mean, it is getting better though, because I got vaccinated. You're vaccinated too?
So there's that going for us. Like,
yeah.
We are rolling out a little bit better, but I think it's that's because we're in a good area for.
Yeah, we are in a good area because we're in the hot spot.
We're lucky. So, and that's one of the things it's like I'm grateful for, because like, my girlfriend hasn't been vaccinated yet. So like, she's been out there, she's been dealing with her thing, and she hasn't got vaccinated. I know a lot of other friends that are just barely outside the hotspots that can't get vaccinated. Yeah. And it's like they're still waiting.
And they got to wait in that long-ass line.
Because
remember, Charon, he had to wait like 10 hours in a line.
When I heard that from Charon, I'm like, I'm like, did you bring like a portable charger? Did you bring lawn chairs? Yeah. Like, you better have brought stuff, or at least like even bring your car into the line and use your car as like a person, because like that's insane. Like that's worse than going to like an airport at that point, because the Toronto airport is kind of airport's bad, especially when you get like a delay or something. Like the airport's bad, but like it's insane. It's like, how are we that bad? How are we that bad that we have to basically get our people to get vaccinated by waiting in a 10-hour line?
But that's all we can do, you know what I mean? Like, we have to do what we can. And shit, if people are going to wait in line, like, 10 hours for sneakers, might as well do it for the vaccine too, feel me?
I remember it was the worst decision me and Charon made.
Yeah.
Because this was back when I was in sneakers.
You guys, like, lined up for a pair?
No, I didn't even line up for a pair. So what originally happened is I really liked the All-Star 6s that came out, the green and black ones.
Yeah.
And I really fucked with them. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Because this is back when I really didn't know too much about sneaker drops. Like back when I liked shoes, but I was just starting to get into it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know too much about the drops and like how it works and stuff and like GRs and all this other stuff. I just like shoes. So I went to go get them.
That was like everybody back in the day. We didn't know too much. Yeah.
So I went to the mall at 6 a.m. to go get shoes that there wasn't even a lineup for, man. So we went to the mall and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get these. And then looking back at it, I'm like, I'm an idiot.
You could have just walked in at 9.
I went to the mall so early in the morning to get basically GRs at that point, because I don't even know to this day if they were GRs. I'm pretty sure they were. But I went to go get GRs at 6 a.m. because I'm an idiot. And like, just didn't do my research. And Charon didn't know either.
Charon's
just like, yeah, yo, I'll come. And we're just there.
Because the sneaker game is way different now than it was before.
Now it's
like everybody has information on like releases way before they happen.
Yeah.
They have like prediction of resale prices, how well they're going to do in the market, how many pairs they have and shit. You know, we didn't have that back in the day.
No, we didn't. And like, you get the odd Instagram account that might tell you, oh, they're dropping this date and they're going to have this stuff. And then you get the confirmation like 2 days before.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying like, oh, we're coming out with these. And it's like, okay, so I found something reliable, but it's not giving me the exact information. Now I'm a little out to date with the sneaker stuff. I still fuck with shoes heavy. I still love shoes, but it's just one of those things where I've kind of like stopped buying.
Yeah, me too. It's
like I have
my fill of it, you know?
I have like my 20 pairs of sneakers at home that I like.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that. And that's a large, big number. 20 pairs isn't like some little amount. Like I have my NMDs, my Ultra Boosts, like those two back in like what?
When in like 2016, that shit was crazy. Everybody was after that.
Everyone was after those. And I got these 2.0 Ultra Boosts, and I had these the Japan all white NMDs.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's got the Japan writing where the boost is and stuff, and Japanese writing.
Yeah.
And I have those, and I've got all my Jordans, I've got my Nikes, I've got all this other stuff. And it's like, I can appreciate stuff. I don't need that stuff no more. Like, I feel like I got everything I need. Maybe the only thing I'll get probably is Courtside Purple One.
Where?
Like the OGs.
Those are fire. Those are fire.
Those ones I fuck with. But like, I gotta get some of them.
Yo, I feel like right now the sneaker game is so, it's almost like dying and almost dead at the same time because of just reselling.
It's whack. Like,
because you can't get anything so you want stupid. Anymore. You can't get anything.
And I remember back then, it's like back in like 2017, you go, you wait for a line.
Yeah.
You go there, you get it. Now I feel like the only spot you can get good shoes is like Sneaker Con and getting a bot.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you don't have a bot, you're not going to win online. You're not.
Sneaker Con in Toronto, like you go, I remember I've gone 2 years now. The first time I went, I only copped like really clothes. So I got like a Supreme sweater. I got this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second one, I ended up getting my Raptor 4s. I was fucking with it. I was like, this is great. I don't got to worry about no online reselling.
You have to line up for shit.
I get to see the shoe. I get to do all this. The only problem is you got to make sure you go in the morning for Sneaker Con.
Because
if you go late, all the nice deals are sold.
Oh, true.
That's the only thing. But like, at the end, if you're going to Sneaker Con, make a day out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're downtown
anyway. Have fun with it. See, I wish I'd never been to a Sneaker Con. Take that in. Even though I'm the biggest sneaker, I never been to Sneaker Con.
Were you not with me, BG, Eric?
Nah, because I had work that day, bro.
Oh.
Yeah. So I never got to go to Sneaker Con. But I was always working, like, you know, I was working at Jordan and shit.
Yeah, no, back then.
So I got whatever kicks I really wanted. Yeah. And if I really wanted a pair, I would drop the bands for it, you know, which isn't the best, but like
it's not the best like thing to do in the world, but like, hey, like I've gone to the point where like I save money. If I want something, I just go buy it.
Yeah, facts.
Like, I've been saving for so long and like just not spending money. It's gone to the point where like if I really want something and it's something I'm gonna use and it's gonna be essentially like smart to buy, mm-hmm. I can just go buy it at this point. Yeah. It's like I've been working.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
See, and I feel like a lot of people, they take that mentality with sneakers and then they use it for like NFTs now.
Jeez,
you know what NFTs are?
No. Wait, inform me.
Oh shit, you're going to hop on this, bro. I can see you hopping on this.
Okay.
So NFTs is non-fungible tokens. So it's pretty much like online art, online collectibles. Do you know what?
Oh, okay.
So NBA Top like, Shot? Have you heard of that?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I seen that that stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, so it's like online video clips of NBA highlights, and then it's like a pack opening. So you open a pack, you get certain cards in it, right?
Oh.
And some of them go for like $50,000, $20,000, $60,000, $100,000. And people make their own NFTs too. So you'd have like smaller artists, even bigger artists, they come out with their own NFTs. They'll sell like a collection of, let's say, different characters, right? Mm-hmm. Their own art characters, and they'll sell for almost like...
So like they basically just make this art, they patent it, they copyright it, so no one else can do it, and then they sell it in this pack.
Yeah, so it's like buying a one of one. It's like having a Mona Lisa on digital.
That's kind of crazy.
And it's blowing up right now. Like a lot of people are talking about, a lot of people are getting into that market of, okay, I think the future is going to be online, so I'm going to invest online.
Yeah, so why not get shit for the online, for something that's going to like evolve into the future? Like, who knows? Maybe you can go onto like art pages online in the next few years and just like browse all this other stuff and see like, what if they have a page in the future where it's really just graphic designers and they post their work and
you can contact them. That's exactly what it is.
So then there it goes.
Yeah. And then looking back at VR, imagine we hit like VR world. And everything you have is an NFT. Like having this Zen garden right here is an NFT.
That would be
that shit would sell for like however $1,000.
Like in the house stuff, like you're talking about, in like the Oculus Home.
Even. Yeah,
like
exactly.
You can set your stuff up in there and it be like limited or like exclusive, and you can get your own shit that you can set up in like your Oculus Home that makes it your own and adds value.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, because that's a flex. You watched Ready Player One, right?
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So everything you own is an NFT, or it's like digital, kind of like a DLC in Fortnite type shit.
Yeah, and it's like everything you get now has this value on it in that world. Essentially, it's like if you get, I don't even know, like get this painting or get this type of basketball setup going on, even in your VR home. It's like this stuff all has different values to it. So you can essentially create a collection or even create like some sort of living off trying to like resell and sell this stuff back to people.
That's what a lot of people are getting into now, because the first pioneers into like this market, they're gonna do really well later on if it becomes this such a mainstream thing, right?
Yeah,
because the emergence of like all these cryptocurrencies, look at like Dogecoin. Well, Dogecoin's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
But people are really on it right now. Like a lot of people are getting into cryptocurrency, whether it be like Ethereum, Bitcoin, whatever. Everybody's getting into crypto. How do you spend crypto? Online. Spend it online. Now, what are you going to buy online? Sure, you can buy like items and shit. But let's say the world moves into digital. Let's say life becomes simulationed. And then we go into this new world where everything we buy is through crypto, through like digital currency. That's where it's going to hold value the most.
Yeah, yo, like it's even like one of the best movies, WALL-E even.
Oh, yeah.
WALL-E, where he gets onto the ship and everyone's essentially in this own like VR simulated thing. They're in their chairs, chilling, just looking around at their monitors, not realizing what's even going on around them because they've become so accustomed to that lifestyle. And the currency they have, they're all spent it online. Everything gets given to them. And the only thing they need to worry about is food.
Yeah.
Even the games they were playing, like you can watch. Go back and you'll see, like, even they're playing virtual golf.
Yeah.
In person. Like, they got the screen on and they do their stuff and they're tapping on their, like, little tablet or whatever. And they're playing golf right in front of them through the screen. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like one of those things. It's like, what if we ever get to a point like that? Like, what if real sports becomes relevant? And it's scary to think about because I would never want a world like that.
But here's the thing, right? Because as the world gets crazier, as like things come out like COVID, you know what I mean? Because there's talks of a new variant that might even be worse than COVID. We don't know the future of mankind. We don't know the future of like natural disasters, things that can happen to our societies, our civilization, like the ending of our civilization. We don't know what can happen. So we might end up moving to a new world through like a simulation. We'll look toward like a new world where things we can control and we can control the simulation where we make like the world we want to live in. We make like houses we want to live in. We make the sports we want to play. You know what I mean? We can really transfer everything we do in real life onto a game in the future. Eventually, I can see that.
I could definitely see that where it's like they almost create like an RPG out of your story.
Exactly. Kind of deal. Yeah.
It's like you go into this game and you go and it's basically your stuff and you do what you want and it's a simulation of your life and you can live your own thing. Obviously, there's going to be limitations to it because you have to have that human rights kind of mindset. People can't go like driving their car into like
some building
that they don't like. So there's obviously going to be limitations.
Can't be like GTA shit.
Yeah. But like, what if it comes to the point where it's like my character's already progressed to like a billionaire or something?
And then you don't want to like, go back. Evolve. You don't want to go back.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. Or even what if it becomes like a show off mechanic? It's like a flex at that point. It's like, oh yeah, my character is now like worth like $2 million on what's it called on the marketplace for online. And it's like, what do you do? Like, what could you do with that?
See, and then like, as we see, like, let's say the world becomes overpopulated, or the world becomes so destroyed we don't want to live in it.
Mm-hmm.
If we move onto that other world, it's not going to be too like crazy to think, oh, let me sell all of my belongings in this world and let me use the currency in that world.
Okay, so what if this, speaking of simulations, what if they're able to, so you know how scientists are able to get research on planets we can't even go to?
Like, No
idea. What if we're getting to the point where we're able to get enough information and pull off a planet for data-wise to create a simulation for someone to live on that planet or try and experience and build kind of the starting world, the starting area for the next civilization to go there so that when someone gets there, they already have the plan. They already know exactly what to do because they already mapped out that area. They know exactly where they're landing. They already created the simulation on how to build everything because they have enough information to gather.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who knows how much info they can get with like the Mars rover and stuff. What if they're able to basically pull out the whole structural integrity of an area and the resources and the land? So what if they only really need to basically just fly there and they already did their research and they can already just set up everything?
It's almost like a copy.
Yeah,
like make a copy.
They make a full copy through the simulation that they're doing here,
and then we can study it.
From the rover, and they can just study it and do what they need to, and practice these situations and build in the world, or maybe even get like weather scenarios down there. Mm-hmm. Like, what if they can find out like, oh yeah, it rains, or it snows, or it gets freezing temperatures in this area because of this reason, or they have this ocean or this lake
that
has this gas that's toxic, and they know that because of what they're able to find out through like even simulations at that point because of the natural resources on that planet.
See, because we don't know the future of like simulations yet. Because if we look at it, we've been simulating things from the 80s.
Yeah.
We've been making simulations of video games, things that we want to do in real life, but we can't at the time.
And
so it's only a matter of time till we get there. It's not even like a question of, will we get there? We will get there.
No,
it's just 100%. A matter of time.
And I think that's something that people don't realize. It's like, almost everything you're doing on the computer gets simulated. And I think that's what people like take for granted. It's like when you make a Minecraft world, it simulates that Minecraft world, for example. Like it's not just something that is already preset. Like it builds everything for you and simulates it. Like people be doing, like simulations are a regular occurrence. And I don't think even people realize that. Like the technology is there. It's just to what degree can we use it? And like who knows what the CIA and stuff like get into? Like who knows what they're able to do with this technology? Only they know how far along everything is.
That's the thing, right?
We know nothing. Like, we think we know stuff. We see stuff on you get people that come into my work and they go on, oh, I found this on Wikipedia. It's like, mm-hmm. that's what you're using as your research. I can't even submit this as a paper for class and you're using this as actual research. It's like there's so much stuff that we don't know. And there's only so many real sources we can use to get this mm-hmm. info. It's like, what, like, how much stuff do they have? Like,
yo, Elon Musk thinks it's a 50-50% chance we're in a simulation or not. And if it ever comes to the point where we can create a simulation, it will prove that we are in one already. So if we can create a simulation, we may already be in one. And if we are already in one, there could be multiple. There could be hundreds. There could be thousands, billions. And we don't know what is true base reality anymore.
Exactly. I actually, you just brought up a really good story for me that I was going to bring up. I have this story from when I was a kid. So, mm-hmm. you know, deja vu, like everyone experiences deja vu. That stuff just happens.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah, yeah.
Like you're walking around, you with your buddy, someone kicks a basketball at you, you catch it, you go, I've done this before. Mm-hmm. I've actually had a really weird experience with deja vu, especially when I was a kid. I don't get that stuff really no more. I'll still mm-hmm. have experiences where like, whoa, I've done this before.
Yeah, 80% of people actually experienced deja vu when they were younger, like around 8 to 10.
And this is what I wanted to bring up. I feel like there's something about the brain when you're a child that works different. So what happened was I was at my cottage. I was with my neighbor. You know Joe?
Yeah,
Joe?
Yeah.
I was with him. And we had cottages right beside each other. So what would happen is I'd go over to his place. We play GameCube and we just chill out. And then we go on the boat or we go fishing. We do something like that.
Yeah.
And that night before, I had this weird dream where we were playing Luigi's Mansion, which is a game we normally play.
Oh, but yeah.
I was seeing stuff I've never seen before. And I was like, I don't know what this is. So I woke up. I didn't think much of it. I was a kid. I was like, it's just a funny dream. Go over to his place. I've never been it before. It was the final boss I was seeing. And I saw exactly how to beat it. And what to do. And I saw us winning the game.
Before it happened.
The night before. And I was tweaking because it was King Boo, essentially. And you're on the top of the roof for Luigi's Mansion. And the reason why I remember this so well, even to the day, is because I saw it twice, bro. I swear to God.
Yo.
And like, what you had to do is you had to get like bombs and stuff, or you had to suck something up at this point, shoot it back at him, find him again, and then basically suck him up with Luigi's vacuum and then beat him through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember it so well because I only realized it like a little while ago, like recently. I'm like, that happened twice. And it's like, I still remember like.
That's why you were able to beat it, because you remembered it.
And that's the thing. It was so easy to like, I understood what was happening. I'm like, I've never been here before.
Mm.
Like we played that stuff together. Yeah. So like we were doing our own like campaign kind of story. So I'd never been that far. He had never been that far.
You would have never seen that.
And I knew what it was. And I was like, this is way back. This is like when I was like 11 or something. So I didn't know what YouTube was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have like an iPod or something. I could really just go on YouTube and search Luigi's Mansion. And if I did, I was probably just looking at the random what to watch videos.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to search up stuff specifically. And that was really the only, that was the only time I would have seen it. And it's still creepy to this day because I don't know how I knew that stuff.
Yeah, bro.
And it's trippy. It's almost like, because you've seen all these videos of like these kids that do like insane things like they fall down the stairs, they roll down the stairs, they don't even get hurt, they laugh it off and stuff. Or you see this kid that instantly knows who's who behind like the mask or something, or like can tell his parents out like no problem. Whereas now some people might do that like with identical people and they'll have a hard time, but the kids know. And it's one of those weird things. It's almost like, what if kids' creativity has an effect on their brain power in a sense, but not their brain abilities? So like pathways are open, but pathways are also blocked because they're so young, so they don't have full access. But when you develop and you grow older, those pathways that you had for your creativity and all this brain power gets locked back up again.
It kind of like dries.
Yeah, and it closes.
Yeah.
And that's why kids are able to experience and do all these crazy things. Or even like the kids that see like ghosts.
Yeah.
Like those kids that talk to ghosts and are able to see this stuff. And it's like, what the?
Exactly, bro.
And it's like, what if these pathways that are open as a kid just slowly close?
Because look, if you take like, let's say a toddler or a child and you put him in a body, let's say my body.
Yeah.
If you put his brain in my body, you're going to think I'm crazy because just the way he reacts to things.
Yeah, and even the way he moves.
The way he moves, yeah. The way he like reacts to certain colors, the way he's thinking, right? Now, when you're a kid, they say when you're a kid, your brain is almost like it's clay.
Yeah.
It's very moldable. You can move it into different shapes and size, whatever. And as you get older, it kind of dries up, kind of gets more solid. It's harder to It's harder to move around. Just like the saying where you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can teach a young dog so many tricks, right? It's the same thing, right? When you're younger, you're so exposed to all of these different things. Everything is so magical. Everything's so creative. But when you get older, people tell you what things are supposed to be.
And it's that forming of what society is and how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
That closes all those pathways.
It closes it down because they force you.
Exactly.
They force you like, you can't do this. You have to do this. So then we grow up saying, okay, I know that's bad. I shouldn't be doing this. But what if there's certain things that they close off that could have helped us see things differently?
And like, and there it goes. It goes back to like that brain power stuff that like gets talked about every once in a while. It's like, oh, people are only using like 5% of their brain or something.
Yeah.
5% of their true power. What if as kids, and if that's true, like what if as kids we have full access to our powers, and that's why they're able to do things or see things or act in ways that would seem weird to us, but that's just because they see things differently because of their brain power.
Mm-hmm.
And if we essentially let them develop into, with just guidance, I wouldn't even say like true teaching them society, let them learn.
Let them
develop. Don't teach them like, oh, this is bad, this is bad. Because essentially,
it kills your creativity, right?
I got a puppy.
Yeah.
Like, just recently. I got a little Great Dane. So like he exploring, he doing his own thing. He teething a lot. He goes for feet. It's annoying. But he's like learning how to do things and he's already kind of coming accustomed. Like but one thing he was doing is he was buying these presents that we had for my dad for his 50th. And he kept on trying to get into them. And we just tell him no. And after a few times, you already realize like that's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm gonna try and get over there. And then once they tell me no, he turns around and like looks at us and like tries being like a little suck or whatever. And it's like, no, you know you're not supposed to be there. And it's like he's learning already. We've had him for 2 days and he's already become accustomed to like what he shouldn't be doing. He knows already.
Yeah.
And it's insane to see how fast he learns. Cause this is the brain of, this is an animal.
It's a dog. Yeah.
This isn't a human. Dogs are insanely smart. Don't get me wrong, but like we're humans. Like we've done all this crazy things that a dog couldn't imagine to do essentially. So imagine what the brain of a child really could unlock.
Yeah.
And what we're limiting by forcing him into the mold of society.
But it's hard because like even curriculum, like look at a schooling curriculum. We all kind of learn the same things, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like in order for somebody, an individual to flourish, it has to be a curriculum molded to their exact specs or their exact like interests, their skills, their way of learning. Because some people learn better physically. Some people learn better analytically, right? Mm. And that's why you see like in high school, a lot of people fail at certain things, but they excel in other things. Like let's say hands-on, the tradespeople, they learn hands-on, but then you have someone that's really good at math. They learn in the books. They're so smart in the books. Mm. And then you have someone more kind of where they learn through talking. They learn through interpersonal skills.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I feel like a lot of this stuff we're talking about more now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I find a lot more people are learning that they do learn physically and a lot more teachers are understanding of that. But it was one of those things. It's like you go back 10 years, no one cared about that stuff. I think it's more of how our generation is kind of developing more as individuals rather than like they want their own power. They want their own say. Not all of it's good because again, our generation's kind of screwed up in some cases.
Yeah, facts.
Like we think we have way too much power than we should a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the stuff we're doing is good, like becoming your own person, learning properly, acknowledging who you are and all that other stuff. It's great. But if we go back, like this wasn't a thing. Like teachers didn't care. No one cared about how you learned. This is how you learned. This is how it is set. You learn like this. And that's what you were taught.
Yeah.
So if you didn't learn like that, no one really cared why you didn't learn like that. That's just how you're going to go through. If you fail, you fail. You go get a burger flipping job. Mm-hmm. That's what they'd say.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's nice to see that we're finally coming back full circle because the curriculum's been like this for ever since.
And I feel like even just society is more accepting of even entrepreneurship, like with what I'm doing. Because I wasn't the best at math, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't the best at school, but I found ways I can be successful and that's what I took and that's what I ran with. Because I know I can make videos. I know I'm better at like talking in conversation and I'm going to run with it. I'm not going to do something I'm bad at and fail at. Sure, I'll try my best. But at the end of the day, if it's not something I want to do, I'm not going to succeed in it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to want to succeed in it.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that like, it always goes under the radar, especially back in the 2000s. It's like people were more concerned about getting a good job.
Yeah.
Get a good job that pays well. Mm-hmm. And that's what you should be doing. Now it's kind of adapted to this point where it's like, everyone's like, I want to do something I love, and I want to be this and that, and I want to do this. Even as, like, kids now, they're getting more crazy. I remember I was a kid, I was like, I want to be, like, a paleontologist or, like, a doctor or something. Something that you see, and it's now it's all these kids, like, are, like...
I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be, like, an influencer.
Influencer and all this, and it's like, I could never see a day like this. I just remember reading my books, liking dinosaurs, liking sports and all this other stuff when I was a kid. And it sounds like everyone has this such big of an impact on people. Yeah. And I feel like it's almost scary to the point where it's like the new generations, this is what they're going to see. Like, who knows? Maybe right now we got like some younger kids that are getting influenced by what we're saying. Yeah,
they get
here.
Inspired because we don't really take in. A lot of people get inspired by people we look up to. People we see on TV, people we see on YouTube. It actually has more of an effect than we think just because it's seen. I mean, kids aren't watching TV anymore. We were inspired by it. By cartoons, yeah, you're inspired by television characters.
Exactly.
But these kids nowadays, they're on YouTube. They're not watching TV. They're looking up to their favorite YouTubers, and their favorite influencers.
That's one of the reasons why I feel like the dream job, like becoming an athlete and all that stuff, that's what, I feel like that's toned down a bit because everyone's on YouTube. Like sports are still being watched. And don't get me wrong, I still love sports and stuff. I don't tune in as often as I should anymore, but I'm still watching sports. I still keep up to date. But I feel like because everyone's switching over to like watching YouTube or watching this new series that they're on, because everything's so much more accessible, I feel like that athlete position is only there at this point for people who actually feel like they're gifted in it now.
Yeah.
It's more or less for people who are already good at that set sport and they're watching it because they're already doing it as a normal thing.
It depends on how they're brought up too, right? Because if they're brought up in a very soccer family, they're always going to think soccer. They're going to live and breathe soccer. Mm-hmm. So when they're older, that's how they're influenced to go down that path. Now, if you take someone where it's like they're into drama, they're into movies, right? Yeah. They're more inclined to be an actor, an actress. They're more inclined to be a director, which is amazing. It just really takes I feel like it's really up to the parents. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's really up to their guardians that tell them right from wrong or kind of influence them where, oh, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that instead. Because it's kind of the make or break of whether your kid's going to follow their dreams or not.
No, and I definitely feel like that's a thing because I know in my household, don't get me wrong, like my family's great, but they never really had anything to push me for. Like I watched sports, I did this, I did that, but I never really had one thing where it was like I was always on. Like as a kid, I played soccer, I played hockey, I've done all these different types of sports, and I've been interested in all these different type of things because they've always kept me open.
Yeah,
and they've never like, hey, this is what we want you to kind of watch, and that's it. Yeah. It's always been like, oh, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And that was one of the sports, that example, for example, that happened. And it was hockey. My brother started playing hockey a lot younger than I did. And they never signed me up for it or never forced me into it because I never apparently showed interest. So they were later on, I was like, I won't play hockey. And they're like, you sure you want to play hockey? And I was like, yeah. So I played hockey for like 3 years. And then that was it. And then I went to soccer. And then I'm like, it's just a flip-flop almost because I never really found something I could stick with.
Because see, I think it really takes for you to try it before you can make a decision. Because you won't really know what you like until you try it, right? Just like I say this all the time, podcasting. I didn't know I was going to be good at podcasting until I actually just started doing it.
Well, that's one of the things I found with Twitch. Because again, like it's been blowing up recently, all considering for Twitch.
Yeah.
Like viewer standpoint, like I think I had like 17 viewers max for my last stream. And that's really good.
That's really good for starting
off on Twitch. And it's insane. And it's one of those things. It's like people are saying like, no, you're actually like entertaining. Like, you know what you're doing. It's like, I'm just turning on my computer, playing a game, going
being
live
yourself.
And just talking and being myself and playing a game where I can interact with like whoever's chatting and still play at a pretty good level. And it's just one of those things. It's like, damn, like I never thought like this is actually something like people would enjoy. It was more or less something that's like, why not do?
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, why not do it if I got the computer for it? Why not?
I feel like if you have a true passion for something and it's something you're really good at, look at like Pokimane. She was born to be a streamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
PewDiePie, he was born to be a YouTuber. Even though back in the day, it was never heard of. It wasn't a career path like you could say, I want to be this. No, they became that through their passion, through their interest, what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's how they found success. Because I feel like if you want to be successful, you got to really love what you want to do.
And that's the thing. What I'm doing currently is like, I don't have any sort of like donations or anything set up. I don't think anyone should be giving me anything like that. There is absolutely no need to give me any sort of money or do the donations. If I get when I hit affiliate, which I probably will in like my next stream, it's like, that's fine. If you want to sub, I can't change that, but it helps the community. Like, yeah, I feel like that's more engaging as like, oh yeah, the first 10 people or whatever, five people that join get founder badge. And it's like, that's something they're going to probably want. They're going to want to be like, oh yeah, I'm a founding subscriber or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just one of those things, but it's like the people who want to start off on something don't expect money out of it. And exactly, I think that's what people don't understand right now.
They're chasing the wrong thing.
They're chasing money instead of chasing something they truly want to do. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it becomes something you're not enjoying anymore. That's how people lose like their spirit for streaming or YouTube or content creation, anything like that. If you're looking at it and you're trying to chase money, you're not going to end up feeling the way you want to feel.
Exactly.
I'm over here, I'm doing it for fun. So I would love to do this full time. Don't get me wrong. It's not something I'm looking for because obviously I'm still in school. Mm-hmm. This is just more something I'm doing as a side. If it blows up, it blows up.
Yeah. But
like, honestly, I'm not expecting anything from it. Mm-hmm. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Because if you want, if you're chasing the money, you're looking at the wrong thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because anybody that chases the money rather than, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go into YouTube and be like, okay, I'm going to be a YouTuber just for money. I just want to use it as my job.
Yeah.
You're not going to come out with the best content because your heart's not in it.
Yeah.
Your heart's not in it. Same with streaming. If you're only in there for the money, your heart's not in it. You're not going to produce the best content for
exactly.
them. Exactly. Right?
And it's like one of those things. And streaming is so like interactive in a sense where it's like, it takes a lot out of you too. And I think people don't expect that. You're live in front of a camera, in front of people sitting down for however long you stream for, whether it be like a regular 8-hour shift essentially, or 6 hours or 4 hours, whatever you're doing. It's like you're sitting there in front of live people. You need to be entertaining and you need to be able to like kind of compose yourself for that whole amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that's not something you're good at or not something you can do, then it's like, what do you expect?
Exactly. Well, I feel like just anybody, if you really want to try anything, go ahead and try it. Because you won't find out until you do.
And that's a good point, too. It's like, I feel like too many people are scared of failure.
Yeah, so many people.
Way too scared of failure. I'm over here, like, I'm going to stream. I don't care if I fail because I'm not expecting anything from it. One thing I like to say is, one thing I keep my model is, like, have high hopes for something, but low expectations. Don't expect anything to happen. Be like, oh yeah, I'd love to do this, but I don't expect it to happen. That way you're going to be more more embedded into what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want to do it and you have the hopes, but you're not expecting anything. So when it doesn't, when it falls through, for example, like say I go and post YouTube videos and I post YouTube videos for like whatever amount of time and nothing ever happens, I'm going to be like, I did it anyway.
Yeah, you can't let anything drop you. But
I didn't expect it to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
And I feel like that really helps with a lot of people's mindset because when you don't have expectations for anything, it makes everything so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been so, again, no expectation. I've been so shocked with growth and how fast it's been happening. And it's all thanks to Jumper's Discord, by the way.
Yeah. Shout out Jumper Discord. If y'all are in it, y'all know.
Honestly, all those guys in there are great. Like they're amazing people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the great things about what you've built so far.
That's what I love the most is our community.
You guys have an amazing community right now. I see that shit all the time. Because whenever I'm in there and I'm admin, I'm doing my thing, whether I'm just like in another Discord call, just kind of keeping tabs on the other one. Mm-hmm. I always see there's always people in there.
Yeah.
And there's regulars and then there's new people and then there's all this other stuff. And it's like, wow, like I never expected something like this to happen.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It was one of those things that you guys just started like, hey, I'm going to start a podcast.
Yeah.
And then now I'm looking out, I'm moderator for a Discord that's got like 3,000+ people and you guys got a YouTube channel of basically half or a quarter of a mil. I'm like, holy
I know
shit,
it's crazy
and insane.
I feel like it's so important now that I have this community. I'm really gonna hold it close, you know what I mean? I'm gonna interact with my supporters because I feel like that's what's missing with a lot of content creators. Sometimes they don't even interact, they don't even talk to the people that look up to them.
Yeah,
they don't give them the advice that they need, or they don't they're not reading the comments like I do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what I really want to do my whole career. I'm gonna make sure I had that one-to-one kind of connection with my fans, with my supporters. It means the most to me to see them prosper, to see them take something out of what I'm creating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it's true. It's one of those things that's where it's like, sure, you got all these big YouTubers and stuff. Someone even like an example who I love, I still love this guy, but YouTuber who kind of just left his community was CNanners. I don't know if you know who that is.
Oh, I think I heard of him.
But he what happened was he just was losing his mindset. He was in like a sad state. He was losing a lot of money because he had a bad spending habit. And essentially he just left YouTube completely, said nothing. He went off the grid, essentially. He left for 4 years. He's back now, which is surprising. Like, he actually came back to his channel and he announced, like, what happened. And it was just one of those things. It's like, how can you do that too? Because he had, what, like 4 million at the time?
He left all the supporters. Four million
people wondering what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand that you might be not in the right mindset, but it's like, a lot of people, like even me,
they're looking up to you.
Daily videos. I would love to watch those. I come home from school back in elementary and I'd watch every single one of those videos whenever they got posted because I found them hilarious. And it was just one of those things. It's like, wow, it's like that can happen. And it's like,
it has a lot of impact. How do you lose
touch with so many people that are keeping up to date with you?
I know.
It's one of those things.
It's sad, but like, obviously, there's other things that take into part of that. But, you know, you always got to look to the bright side of it. You got to look to the bright side of it. He had his run. You know what I mean?
He was able
to inspire those people that watch him for the time being, which is amazing still.
And that's one of the things I find about YouTube, Twitch, anything where you're promoting yourself and doing videos and stuff. Honestly, and it's one thing that people misconceive about it. It's never forever. It's never going to be something forever. So as long as you can build a name and get some sort of background to who you are, you'll be fine, but don't expect to do YouTube, for example, for the next 40 plus years until you retire.
If you want to do it forever, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan where you're going to do this, then this, then this, then this. It's never just going to be one thing the same.
Yeah.
You always have to revamp. You always got to look at new ideas, new different creative aspects in your content. Like, maybe I want to do this instead. Maybe I want to make movies instead. Maybe I want to go out, make vlogs, whatever, right? And as long as you're constantly evolving your brand, you're evolving yourself, you're going to get better.
Yeah, no, and that's true. But like, example, look what happened to Ninja.
Yeah.
Ninja, this huge, huge following base, had like 270,000 subscribers at one point, by the way, which are $5 each.
Crazy. It's
a lot of people at one time that gave him money for 1 month. That was 1 month of time. So it's insane. And then you go back and look at him now, and it's like, he really kind of dropped off, and that's because he was kind of sticking to the
same thing.
And then he switched over to Mixer and changed his community up, and sure, he got payout for Mixer. Don't get me wrong. Like, I got paid a lot of money for that, but at the same time, it's like, I'm over here thinking to myself, if I was ever in that position, it's like, why would I want to lose what I have and what I built at the same time? Why would I change?
It's like a trade-off for more money. And that's where it gets lost.
That goes back to the original point. If you're looking for money, you're going to get burned out or you're not going to truly have the same view of your followers and subscribers as other people do. And I think that's just what happens. People get mixed up. They see the money they're making. They go, oh my God, this is like more than enough for me. And then they get all wrapped up in it and like, what if I can make more?
They lose sight. They lose sight of it. Yeah. But I think that's a good note to end it off. We'll end it there. Running out of time.
Sounds good.
But yeah, thanks for coming out, Brandon.
No problem.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
If you guys want to join the Discord, links in the bio. We always talking in there. If y'all want to hang out, y'all want to play Minecraft with us, Gavin, whatever.
Carlos, we pop in there. We're always chilling. We're always vibing. So it's definitely something, if you guys want to kind of interact with us, even post your theories. We have a theory section. If you guys want something that wants to get noticed, or maybe even want to try to get us to talk about, go for it. Shoot it in there. He'll get noticed.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
So check out Brandon. He's streaming on Twitch.
Yeah, on Twitch.
Yeah, I'll link that in the bio. All right, okay. Jumpers Jump out.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.